Thank the Lord this morning for the privilege that we have to worship the Lord. There are people around the world in countries that don't have the privilege that we have to meet openly to worship the Lord. I know that persecution has always been good for the church. I know it's been difficult, but persecution, it has a way of drawing people that are sincere, drawing them closer to the Lord, and those that aren't, it kind of has a way of separating the wheat from the chaff, but it has a way of spreading the gospel as well. But I am thankful that we have the freedom that we do in this country, right now at least. I'm thankful that we can come together and worship, and we're thankful for each one that's here today. Title of the message that the Lord gave me to share for this morning is Behold What Manner of Love. I'd like to ask you a question today. How are you loved? How are you loved? Now, the first thing that comes to my mind if someone asks me, how are you loved? My question would be, by whom? In other words, who are you talking about? Are you talking about my wife? Are you talking about my children? Are you talking about people I meet in town? Are you talking about God? Who are you talking about? And for some people, you could say, well, I am loved wonderfully. I'm loved wonderfully. And there are other people, I say, not so much. Not so much. So how do we judge love today? How do you judge love? If you were to examine how you are loved by people that are in your life, practically, how would you measure that love? Not necessarily with a textbook answer. And I know that we could come up, we could say, well, let's look at the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It defines love for us, does it not? You know, love is kind, and it goes through the attributes of love and charity. The way I think about love to an extent, sometimes if I were to begin just practically to measure it in conversation, I'd say how someone loves me to an extent has to do with their attitude towards me. If someone has a negative attitude towards you, you realize that comes out in people in how they talk to you? Isn't that another way of how you're loved? I will say that sometimes I think about people that speak unkindly to someone as a matter of course, and they speak and they're not patient and they're not gentle and they're rude, and they make comments to someone that are just not nice, and yet they say, I love you. That's a strange kind of love, isn't it? That's a strange kind of love. I think about abusive situations, and I've seen some abuse that I wish that were burned into my mind that I wish were not in my mind. Things that I've seen a man doing to his wife that I drove by one time and I saw something, and I just wish I could just erase it from my mind. But I dare say that that man probably at some points told his wife, I love you. But that's not the kind of love, that's not true love, to treat someone like that and yet turn around and say, I love you. Because my question is, what does love mean? Love has to do with how we view someone. Love has to do with our attitude towards someone. Love has to do, I would say practically, love has to do with how someone talks to us. But it also has to do with how someone talks about us, doesn't it? If you say, well, they really love me. If I told you, and I do, I love all of you, and that means something. Do you think that means then if you heard that I was just going around talking negatively about you, would you not question what kind of love does Brother Michael have for me? He says he loves me, and yet he's just out talking bad about me and doesn't care about my feelings and what people think about me. Love changes the way we talk about people. Love does not ignore needs. Love does not cover up things that are wrong. But if you have to talk about something that's wrong, it's covered with that umbrella of true care and concern and interest and sacrifice. Is not love when someone sacrifices themselves in your behalf? It's like, they love me. That's why they're doing it. People that you love, you don't always do things because it feels good. There are things that my wife and I would do for one another. It's not always because that's our first choice or our personal preference, but because that's important to you. Because that's important to someone that I love. Yes, let's do that. Because you're interested and you care. Love has to do with sacrifice. Love also has to do with commitment. Love has a lot to do with commitment because love goes way beyond feelings and emotions. Feelings and emotions come and go, but true love has to do with commitment. If someone loves you, they're not just there when things are going good. They're there during the difficult times. They're there in misunderstandings. They're there in differences because I am committed. I'm speaking about in relationships. Well, we're not in agreement here, and so I'm out of here. That's the mentality of the world, but that's not real love. Love has much to do with commitment, and we'll face another day. Maybe we still don't see eye to eye, but I am committed to our relationship because I'm committed to you. And love will carry you through so many difficulties in relationships with people. Well, so how are you loved this morning? It would be a whole nother message to talk about how do you love? Maybe that gets down personal for us. How do you love? But how are we loved this morning? The world is full of people that, like I said, they have a strange type of love. I also believe that there are people that love, but they don't show it very well. And do you know that makes for difficult relationships? It makes for very difficult relationships when someone has love that is really buried really deep, but they just don't know how to express it. It makes relationship difficult. It makes communication difficult. It makes it difficult for someone to know where you're coming from. Because when you know someone loves you and they show that love during tough times or during times even of disagreement, you know where they're coming from. They're not coming at it trying to put me in my place. They're coming out because they care about me and they care about my future and they care about the things that touch my life. Do you know that's one of the reasons, and this is just a little rabbit trail this morning. We're going to get into the scripture. But that is one of the reasons why if there is someone that has a problem in your life, whether it is a family member, whether it's someone in the congregation, someone you work with, and you are just trying to put someone in their place and you don't really have a deep love for them, you need to leave that situation alone. Because that's why when situations have to be dealt with, it needs to be dealt with people that have a genuine sacrificial care and love about the person. You come along and I see Brother James, my cousin here, and I come along and maybe say, I don't know him well. And I come along and say, well, you need to do such and such and walk off. And he's left with, you don't even know me. That's the first time you even talk to me and you're trying to line me out. How effective is that going to be? But when someone is there for you and you know they care about you and maybe they share something, you ought to receive that differently because they've got a vested interest. Well, I'd like to share with you this morning by the help of the Lord what manner of love that the Father has for us. It's simple and it's basic, but I would that when we leave this place today, that we would remember that God has a very deep love for each and every one of us. How does God love us? Well, Psalm 36:7, David said, "How excellent is thy loving kindness." I would that you have found that the love of God is just wonderful today. And if you haven't, do you know that the problem really is not God's? Because love unreturned is incomplete. If you've ever had someone in your life that you really loved and you cared about them and they put up a wall, I dare say most of us have had experiences like that. People that you loved and you cared about and you reached out to them and you wanted to be there for them and they put up a wall and they would have nothing for it. And so you didn't have much of a relationship with them. But you wanted one because you loved them and you cared. But when they didn't open the door and return that love, it was an incomplete relationship. That's how it is with many people with God today. If you say, God doesn't care about me, no, God does care about us, but we have to open up our hearts to receive of His love. Well, 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, but for God is what? For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Now, do you remember I asked you the question, how are you loved? The scripture says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. So now he's going to tell us, this is how God actually showed his love. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In other words, he didn't just tell us. You see, it's one thing for someone to come and say, I love you, but it's something else to show them that you love. God did more than just send a letter to earth and said, I want you to know I love you. Because, you know, talk is cheap. Talk is really cheap. But God sent the closest, most valuable thing that he had, and that was his Son, Jesus Christ. And he sent him to this earth to die and to suffer because of his love for us. So when you're struggling, I want you to remember how the love of God was manifested for you. He sent his Son, Jesus. And we think, does God care about this thing that touches my life? He cares because Jesus died for me. And if you died for someone, don't you think that if we're not living again after death, in heaven we will. But do you realize that if you sacrifice everything you have for someone, you are really interested in how their life goes from that point on? You gave everything you had for someone. If you gave all your money to someone to start a business, and you emptied your bank account, and you took out a mortgage on your house, and you gave it to someone to start a business, you don't think you'd be interested in how their business turned out? And they got to a place they needed just a little bit more money, and then it was all going to come together and work. Don't you think you'd be forking out just a little bit more? Because I want to see them successful. God gave His Son for your spiritual success this morning. So when we struggle, we're not alone. God loves us, and He manifested that love by sending His Son. He gave it. John 3:16, one of the most familiar verses in our world today. For God, what? So loved the world that He, what? That He gave. He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. So when we are struggling or going through tough times in life, I want you to know the Lord is not against you. God is not working against you this morning. It's the devil that tries to make us think that the Lord's against us. Everybody's against me. You ever gone through a period of life? I know sometimes I think about young people. They just feel like the world's against them. Nobody cares about me. I'm all by myself, and nobody cares, and everybody's against me. Mom and dad are against me, and my brother and sister are against me, and no one's for me. First of all, that's from the enemy. It's not true. But God is not against us this morning. And if you, even in your failure, if you have failure in your life, God is not against you. He gave His Son that we could have life. So when we have problems, we can come to the Lord and be vulnerable with Him because He loves me. He cares about me. And I can come and I have a safe place in the love of God. Well, John 3:16 is very familiar, but do you know that if you add a 1 to that, it takes us to another place? You might not have realized this. Okay, we know John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." In other words, we're talking about how are you loved this morning. And he said, in this was manifested the love of God. And now we find in the third chapter, John's on that same theme. This is how we can know the love of God. He said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." Jesus Himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, then a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did for you this morning. And I would that the Spirit of God would personalize this, and just each and every one of you today know that Jesus laid down His life for you. And He cares. And He loves you. And He's interested in you. And sometimes the smaller things... And please understand what I'm saying, because Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this." It's a wonderful thing for someone to lay down their life. Jesus said that's the greatest demonstration of love, and that's what Jesus did. But do you know we also read in the Scripture that even if you give your body to be burned and have not charity, it doesn't profit you anything? I think about people today that say, "Oh, I love you, I'll give my life for you." But what about in the smaller things? Do you see where this is going? Because sometimes we could say on the big things, we could say, "Yes, I would give," and I really believe from the bottom of my heart, I would do that for any one of you today. If I could die and it would make an eternal difference for your salvation, I would do it. I believe that, because I want you to make it, and I love you. But what about in the smaller things? Because we say, "Yes, I would give my life." It sounds noble, doesn't it? But what about in the smaller things? What about in the care and the kindness and the thoughtfulness and the words? And what about my attitude towards you? And I bring that out because I want us to know that Jesus did not only give His life for us, but in the smaller, more insignificant things in life, He cares. And so what have we done then to deserve that kind of love? Does anybody here deserve the love of God? You know, it's easy, and I caught myself. As I was meditating, it's like I did not deserve the love of God. And you know, I had to change my tense. I said, "I did not." I do not. Today, I do not deserve the love that God has shown for me. There is nothing that I have done or could do that is worthy of the kind of love that the Father has shown to me. He's been so kind to me. He's been so merciful to me. He's been so long-suffering with me. Hasn't He been that way with you? He's really interested in you this morning. So how are you loved? We're loved very greatly this morning. The Scripture in Romans 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us." He gave us His love. He showed us His love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we talk about and read the Scriptures about God sending His Son, and that's how we perceive the love of God, and that's how the love of God was manifested, because of that great, wonderful gift, because the blood of bulls and of goats did not bring spiritual life. It did not save from sin. It forgave sin, but it gave no power over sin. And it took the blood of Jesus for us to forgive us and to enable us to go forward and live without going back to the degradation that was in our life. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to do that. Well, did I deserve it? No. It was while we were yet sinners Christ died for us. We were unworthy, and we are still this morning. We're unworthy and we're undeserving. We don't deserve the love of God, and yet He loves us. And if we want relationship with the Lord, it's going to be by opening up our heart and responding back to that love. Has anyone ever given you the cold shoulder? Am I the only one? There's a few of us. And it's like, you're like, what's, depending on how deeply it affects you, some people, it's like, what's their problem? You know, I mean, why are they doing that? In other people, it's like, it hurts deep. They give you the cold shoulder. And you can't have a relationship when you want one. Do you realize this morning the Lord wants a relationship with you? He wants to have a relationship with you. But if we close our heart and we give God a cold shoulder, we're never going to be able to be recipients of the warmth of His love because we're rejecting it. Well, God saw man struggling within himself, and He saw the sin, and He sees the heartache, He sees the guilt, He sees the pain, and He sees the suffering, and there was a need for a sacrifice. And He looked on, He said, I care enough about them. I care enough about you that I'm going to send my Son because of love. For your benefit and for my benefit. Well, He gave the best that He had. So with that in mind, would you turn with me? And this is the title of the message in 1 John chapter 3. And John talks a lot about this subject. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He said, behold. In other words, this is something amazing about that. I'm about to share something amazing. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. How are you loved this morning? Behold, what manner of love. Was it the love that was just words? Was it the love that, it's almost like too, and I've shared this before, my wife and I, when we first got married, we knew a husband and wife, and they had quite a few issues in their marriage. And the husband would go and he would act up to his wife and he'd buy his wife flowers. I was going through the, a few years ago, I was buying some flowers and the lady said, what'd you do? In other words, like, and my wife and I, we laugh about it, but we talked about it when we knew this husband was buying his wife flowers, but he wouldn't humble himself. He wouldn't change. Well, I acted up. I won't even say I'm sorry, but I'll bring my wife flowers. My wife and I were talking. She said, save the flowers. I mean, why go buy flowers if someone's not going to humble themselves with it? Say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked that way, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to work on it, and I care about you. Save the flowers. But that's not what the Lord has done with us. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This morning, Jesus did not only die that we could be saved, but the Father loved us so much that He adopted us as His children, that now we are sons and we are daughters of the Father. He adopted us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He accepted us, and the Scripture tells us the thoughts that the Father has towards us. You wonder, what does God think about me? Have you ever wondered what someone thought about you? Anybody ever actually posed that? So I wonder what they think about me. I've thought that before. I also came to the conclusion I probably really don't want to know sometimes. But we know the thoughts that the Father has towards us this morning. They're thoughts of peace. They're good thoughts. He wants to bring us to an expected end. They're thoughts that are done in this life. Yes, there's a time of judgment coming, but right now he's wanting to bring us in and help us and save us and restore us and heal us and help us in our struggles. And all I can say this morning is, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love, how beautiful and how great and how magnificent and how awesome is the love that God has for us as His children this morning. We've been adopted. We've been recipients of every good thing of all of God's provision. So how long is He going to love us? You know, I actually wrote down in my notes something, and afterward I thought, I better check that. I want to tell you all the truth this morning. I want to tell you what I wrote down in my notes. I said a love affair, and I put an arrow, and I said denotes temporary. Have you ever heard people say, well, I have a love affair? And I thought, that denotes something temporary, a love affair. So I thought, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to see what the stats say. I want to tell you what it said about a love affair. It said that in the love stage of affairs, it normally lasts 6 to 18 months. A love affair. 6 to 18 months is the average how long a love affair normally lasts. It said that 75% of marriages that start as affairs end in divorce. 75%. I don't want to just have a love affair with the Lord, because that's temporary. What's going to separate? How long will God's love last for us? The scripture says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Famine, persecution, and the list goes on. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The only thing that can separate you from the love of God is yourself. It's your choice. And so this morning, if you are not experiencing that wonderful relationship with God, it's not the church's fault. Let me say that again. If you're not experiencing a wonderful life in the Lord, it's not the church's fault. It's not because of what we teach. It's not because of what we preach that's hindering. It's not because of your mom or dad or your children or people that are in your life. It's not because I just got a hard lot in life. My life is just difficult. It's more difficult than everybody else's. There are some people that have that mentality. The only thing that can separate us from that love that God has for us, the only thing is our choice. So I'd like to close with this scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. His love is great this morning, and it passeth knowledge. And I would that we can rest in the love that God has for us and respond with that same love, with dedicated care, concern, purpose, that, Lord, I want to stay in that relationship with you. So how are you loved this morning? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.